Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, I like to explore trends. And today, we're diving into something I know a lot of you are really interested in. It's this whole holistic health revolution thing.
Yeah.
It seems like it's everywhere you turn these days.
It really is.
So we're taking a look at this article called 10 Ways Holistic Health Will Revolutionize Health and Wellness Over the Next Year.
Okay.
And they're predicting some pretty big changes.
Right.
So I thought, you know what better way to kick off, you know, the new year?
Absolutely.
Than by kind of looking ahead and seeing what...
And I think what I find really interesting is how the article really tackles this changing perception of well-being.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like, it's not just about addressing a specific ailment anymore.
Right.
It's about recognizing this interconnectedness of our whole being.
The article uses that term interconnectedness a lot, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And they actually make a comparison to a car.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. You know, they're saying just like a car needs a well-functioning engine, a focused driver, and the right fuel to perform optimally. Our well-being also depends on the harmony between these different aspects of ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, if you think about it that way, it makes total sense.
It's a great analogy because it really highlights, you know, the shift from traditional models that often compartmentalize health, you know.
Okay.
So holistic health really suggests that treating one aspect in isolation, you know, may not be enough.
Right.
Like, for example, if you're ignoring chronic stress, that can impact your physical health.
Yeah.
Just as neglecting proper nutrition can impact mental clarity.
So they're all connected.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it's interesting. They cite a statistic in the article that I thought was pretty compelling.
Okay.
They say 60% of U.S. adults have tried some form of complementary or alternative medicine.
Wow.
Which to me says that, you know, people are looking outside of the you know, traditional
model. Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge number. Yeah. And it's a reflection of, I think, a couple of factors.
Okay.
You know, for one, we are seeing, you know, chronic illnesses are becoming, you know, more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
And conventional medicine, you know, doesn't always provide complete solutions or address the root causes.
Okay.
You know, so people are, you know, actively seeking out these alternative ways.
So they're looking for something else to maybe add to it, or
yeah, it's not necessarily about rejecting conventional medicine.
Okay.
It's about exploring these options, you know, that might complement those traditional treatments.
Right.
And it's really empowering individuals to kind of, you know, take a more proactive role in their well-being, you know.
Okay.
So it really emphasizes prevention and, you know, lifestyle changes that can address those underlying causes.
Okay.
Rather than just managing those symptoms.
So you're getting to the root of the problem.
Exactly.
Not just putting a Band-Aid on it.
Exactly.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you think about it that way, it's like, well, yeah, of course I should be trying to figure out what's causing this, not just how to stop it from hurting.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting because the article also touches on this rising popularity of integrative mental health practices.
Yeah.
Which I think is fascinating.
That's a good point, because I feel like we're hearing a lot more about, you know, mindfulness and meditation and, you know, these kinds of things.
Things like meditation, yoga, mindfulness are really gaining traction.
Yeah.
And there's a growing body of research that supports the benefits, you know.
Interesting.
Studies show that these practices can significantly reduce anxiety and depression.
Really?
Enhance emotional regulation.
Wow.
And, you know, boost mental resilience.
I mean, that's huge.
It is huge.
If you can do all that by, you know.
And I think what
this. Putting still for 20 minutes.
What's really compelling is, you know, it's not just about relaxation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's about equipping individuals with the tools to kind of manage stress and navigate life challenges, you know, more effectively.
I mean, that's really what it's all about, right?
Exactly.
Like, life is stressful, and if you don't have ways to kind of deal with it, then it can really
Absolutely.
Take a toll.
Yeah, and it's about cultivating, you know, a calmer and more focused mind.
Okay.
So these practices don't offer like a quick fix.
Right.
You know, they really encourage a shift in perspective and behavior that leads to that long-term well-being.
So instead of reaching for, you know, a pill to mass anxiety, you're learning techniques to kind of...
Exactly. You're managing it at the source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really empowering when you think about it.
It is.
You're not just, you know...
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. I recently spoke with a patient who had been struggling with anxiety for years. You know, they tried various medications, you know, with limited success. And after incorporating like regular mindfulness practice into their daily routine, they reported a significant reduction in their anxiety levels.
Wow.
And an increased ability to cope with those stressful situations.
I mean, that's amazing.
You know, it's not a magic bullet.
Right.
But it's a valuable tool
to
kind of, you know, have in your arsenal.
That's a powerful example.
It is.
Of how these practices can lead to real, tangible benefit.
Yeah.
So, and then the article kind of switches gears a little bit and it starts talking about nutritional holism.
Okay.
Which caught my attention because I'm always interested in learning more about nutrition.
Yeah.
Can you break down what that means and why it's important, you know, within this whole holistic health framework?
Yeah. So nutritional holism really focuses on the power of whole unprocessed foods to kind of nourish and support the body, you know?
So ditch the processed junk.
Exactly.
Embrace nature's bounty.
Yeah. I like it. So it goes beyond just counting calories or macronutrients. It's really about understanding that intricate connection between food and overall well-being.
So you're saying it's not just about, you know, what's on the nutrition label.
Right.
It's about, you know, how this food is actually going to impact your body and your mind and
absolutely
your overall health.
Yeah. And the focus is really on consuming foods in their most natural state, you know.
Okay.
So fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds.
Okay.
To provide the body with the nutrients it needs to thrive.
So getting back to the basics, and then that makes a lot of sense because, you know, we've gotten so far away from with, you know, processed foods and fast food.
And absolutely. And studies consistently show that diets rich in these foods are linked to a lower risk of, you know, chronic diseases like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain types of cancers.
So it's not just about, you know, fitting into your genes.
Right.
It's about actually preventing serious health problems.
Exactly. It's about long-term health and well-being.
And I've noticed that there's also a growing awareness of the benefits of plant-based diets.
Absolutely.
Is that connected to this whole nutritional holism concept?
Definitely. You know, plant-based diets are naturally abundant in those whole foods we just talked about.
Uh-huh.
They're inherently rich in fiber, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, which are essential for optimal health. You know, research has linked plant-based diets to improved cardiovascular health, reduced inflammation, even better gut health.
So it's not just about what you're not eating.
Right.
It's about what you are eating.
Exactly. It's about actively choosing foods that nourish your body from the inside out.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense.
And that's where the concept of personalized nutrition comes in.
Okay.
So, you know, while a plant-based diet can offer significant benefits, nutritional holism, you know, recognizes that everyone's different.
Right.
You know, we have unique needs, genetic predispositions, lifestyles.
We're not all the same.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a personalized nutrition plan takes all of those factors into account.
Okay.
To create a tailored approach.
So one size does not fit all.
It does not.
When it comes to nutrition.
Exactly.
So how do you even begin to figure out what your personalized nutrition plan should be?
Well, I understand that it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of overhauling your entire diet. But remember, it's about progress, not perfection.
Okay.
You know, a personalized plan shouldn't feel restrictive.
Right.
It's about making those gradual, sustainable changes.
Okay.
That fit, you know, your individual needs and preferences.
So it's baby steps.
Exactly.
Not a complete 180 overnight.
Right. And even small adjustments can have a significant impact over time.
I like that.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, diving headfirst into a completely new way of eating, it's about making mindful choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
And working with a qualified nutrition professional can help you navigate those choices effectively so they can assess your individual needs, provide guidance, and support you throughout that journey.
That's great to have that support system in place.
Yeah.
Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about something that I'm particularly curious about, and that is the role of alternative therapies in holistic health.
Okay.
Because the article lists some really interesting ones.
It does.
And I'm fascinated by this, but I also, you know, I think there's still a lot of mystery surrounding it.
Yeah.
Can we start by diving into acupuncture?
Sure.
I've heard so much about it, but I'm not quite sure how it works.
So acupuncture has been practiced for thousands of years.
Wow.
And it's rooted in traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay.
And it involves inserting very thin needles into specific points along the body's meridian system.
Meridian system.
Yeah. That's so in traditional Chinese medicine, meridians are these channels through which vital energy known as qi flows throughout the body.
Okay.
And so acupuncture aims to stimulate these points to restore the balance of qi and promote healing.
So it's not just about sticking needles randomly into your body. There's a whole system and a philosophy behind it.
There is a whole system. Yeah.
Okay.
And while the scientific understanding of how acupuncture works is still evolving.
Okay.
You know, research suggests that it can be effective for a variety of conditions.
Really?
Yeah. It's been shown to help manage chronic pain.
Wow.
Reduce nausea and vomiting. Alleviate headaches and migraines.
Okay.
And even improve sleep quality.
That's quite a range of benefits.
It is.
So while Western medicine may not fully understand how it works, there is evidence to suggest that it can be a valuable tool.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
It's a great example of how holistic health encourages us to consider, you know, these diverse approaches.
Okay.
And to keep an open mind about these different healing modalities.
Okay, now I'm curious about aromatherapy.
Okay.
I associate it with essential oils and relaxation, but is there more to it?
You're on the right track.
Okay.
Aromatherapy utilizes essential oils extracted from plants for therapeutic purposes.
Okay.
And these oils contain potent compounds that can impact our physical and emotional well-being.
So it's not just about making your house smell nice.
It's not just about that. No.
There are actual health benefits associated with these oils.
Absolutely. Different essential oils have different properties and they can be used to address a variety of concerns.
Interesting.
So for example, lavender oil is known for its calming and relaxing effects.
Uh-huh.
And it's often used to promote sleep.
Okay.
Peppermint oil, on the other hand, is invigorating.
Okay.
And it can be helpful for headaches or digestive issues.
So it's about finding the right oil for your specific need.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how are these oils used?
So there's a couple of main methods.
Okay.
Inhalation and topical application.
Okay.
So for inhalation, you might use a diffuser to disperse the oil into the air or add a few drops to a bowl of steaming water and inhale the steam. And for topical use, essential oils are typically diluted in a carrier oil like almond oil or coconut oil before being applied to the skin.
So you don't just put them directly on your skin.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the last alternative therapy that's mentioned in the article is chiropractic care.
Okay.
I know it involves the spine, but can you kind of explain what it's all about?
Yeah. So chiropractic care focuses on the musculoskeletal system, particularly the spine.
Okay.
And chiropractors use a variety of techniques, primarily manual adjustments.
Okay.
To address misalignments in the spine and other joints.
And why is spinal alignment so important?
So the spine is a critical part of the nervous system.
Okay.
And when the vertebrae are misaligned, it can interfere with nerve function and impact communication between the brain and the rest of the body.
So it's not just about treating back pain.
It's not just about that.
It's about making sure that your nervous system is functioning optimally.
Exactly.
Okay.
So chiropractic adjustments aim to restore proper alignment, which in turn can alleviate pain, improve mobility, and enhance overall well-being.
I see.
Yeah.
So these alternative therapies offer a diverse set of tools to support holistic health.
They do.
But I think we need a moment to digest all this information.
Okay.
We'll be right back with part two of our deep dive into holistic health after a quick break.
So before the break, we were talking about all those alternative therapies,
right?
Like acupuncture and aromatherapy.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about this concept of community.
Okay.
Because the article highlights this as a really important aspect of holistic health.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to hear your perspective on this because I feel like it's something that's often overlooked.
It is.
In traditional healthcare models.
It's a crucial aspect, you know, often overlooked in those conventional models.
So what are they talking about when they talk about community in the context of holistic health?
So holistic health recognizes that well-being, you know, it's not just this individual pursuit.
It's really deeply intertwined with our social connections, our sense of belonging, and the support systems that we cultivate.
So it's about acknowledging that, you know, our environment and the people around us
absolutely
play a role in our overall health.
Yeah, we're social beings by nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, feeling connected, supported, and understood
really
contributes to our mental, emotional, and even physical well-being.
That makes sense because I know when I'm feeling isolated or lonely,
right,
it definitely impacts my mood, my energy levels.
Exactly. And the article mentions, you know, this rise in wellness communities,
yes,
which I think is fascinating.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Like, what What do these communities look like, and how do they contribute to a holistic approach?
Sure. So wellness communities can take many forms. You know, think yoga studios, meditation groups, online forums, even community gardens.
Oh, wow.
They offer a space for people to connect with like-minded individuals, share their experiences, and support each other on those wellness journeys.
So it's like you're creating the support system around a shared goal of well-being.
Exactly.
I imagine that can be incredibly motivating.
Absolutely. You know, having a community can provide that accountability, that encouragement, a sense of shared responsibility for one another's well-being.
Because, you know, misery loves company, but so does success.
Exactly.
Right.
Think about the camaraderie you find in, you know, a group fitness class.
Yeah.
Or the support that you receive in a recovery group. You know, these connections can be transformative.
So it's about realizing that you're not alone in this journey.
Absolutely.
That there are other people who understand your challenges.
Right.
Who can offer encouragement and guidance.
Exactly. And these communities often go beyond, you know, simply providing support.
Okay.
They can be valuable sources of information and resources.
Oh, interesting.
For example, a community garden might offer workshops on sustainable gardening practices.
Okay.
Or, you know, host potlucks, where members share healthy recipes.
It's like a holistic ecosystem.
It is.
Where people are learning from each other, sharing their knowledge and skills.
Exactly. And it highlights that interconnectedness.
Right.
That lies at the heart of holistic health. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, our well-being is not solely determined by our individual choices.
Okay.
It's influenced by our environment, our social interactions,
yeah.
the communities we choose to be a part of.
It's all connected.
It is.
And these communities aren't just limited to, you know, physical spaces anymore.
Right.
With technology, we're seeing a surge in online wellness communities as well.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. You know, online platforms have become incredible tools for connecting people, you know, around shared interests and goals.
Right.
So they can provide support resources in a sense of community to those who might not have access to those spaces
you
know, in their physical environment.
Yeah.
So think about, you know, online support groups
right.
for people with chronic illnesses or, you know, virtual fitness challenge that connect participants from all over the world.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology can break down those geographical barriers and really foster that sense of connection even from afar.
It can. And it can be especially valuable for those who might feel isolated
right.
or lack access to those in-person support systems.
Right.
So, you know, these platforms can create a sense of belonging, reduce those feelings of loneliness, and empower individuals to take control of their health and well-being.
I mean, that's huge.
It is.
Especially in today's world where, you know,
exactly.
people are feeling more and more isolated.
And of course, it's important to be discerning, you know,
right.
about the information that you encounter online.
Absolutely.
And to seek guidance from those reputable sources.
Right. It's all about finding those trusted voices
yes.
within those online spaces.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of technology, the article also talks about this rise of holistic health technology.
Right.
And I'm curious to hear your take on how technology is playing a role in this evolving landscape.
So technology is rapidly transforming.
Yeah.
You know, the way we approach health and wellness.
Uh-huh.
And it's playing a significant role in making these holistic practices more accessible and personalized.
Okay. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So one prominent example is, you know, the proliferation of wearable health devices.
Okay.
Like smartwatches, fitness trackers.
Right.
And these devices empower individuals to monitor their health metrics in real time.
Yeah.
Providing valuable data on things like heart rate.
Okay.
Sleep patterns.
Yeah.
Activity levels, even stress response.
It's like having a personal health coach on your wrist.
Exactly.
And that's pretty cool.
And this data can help individuals, you know, gain insights into their own bodies,
yeah.
track their progress, and make more informed choices
yeah.
to support their well-being.
And beyond wearables, I've also noticed a surge in health and wellness apps.
Oh, absolutely.
There's an app for everything.
There is an app for everything.
These days.
And these apps offer a range of features.
Yeah.
From guided meditations to personalized fitness plans.
Right.
Nutrition tracking, symptom logging, you know.
Yeah.
They can be incredibly helpful for staying motivated,
mm-hmm.
establishing healthy habits, and managing specific health concerns.
It seems like technology is making holistic health more accessible.
Yes.
More personalized.
Absolutely.
And even fun.
And fun.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But I imagine there are also some potential downsides to consider.
Right.
What are some of the challenges or pitfalls that you see associated with, you know, relying so heavily on technology for health and wellness?
That's a great point. You know, while technology offers incredible potential, it's essential to approach it with a critical and mindful perspective.
Okay.
One concern is, you know, the potential for information overload.
Right.
So with so much information readily available.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming to sift through.
Yeah.
And discern what's credible and reliable.
So how can people kind of avoid getting lost in that noise?
It's crucial to be discerning about your sources. You know, look for information from reputable organizations, qualified professionals, evidence-based research.
So do your research.
Exactly.
Don't just believe everything you read online.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to question, you know, what you read.
Yeah.
And consult with your healthcare provider for personalized guidance.
And I think another concern is the potential for technology to become a distraction or even create these unhealthy dependencies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's important to use technology mindfully and intentionally.
Yeah. Right.
You know, don't let it become a substitute for real life connections or essential self-care practices.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're using a meditation app, you know, make sure you're not just mindlessly clicking through guided meditations without truly engaging in the practice.
Right. It's about finding that balance between leveraging the benefits of technology and maintaining a healthy relationship with it.
Absolutely.
So the article acknowledges that holistic health isn't without its challenges and misconceptions.
Mm.
What are some of the hurdles that holistic health faces?
So one persistent challenge is, you know, the skepticism. From some within the traditional medical community.
Okay.
You know, some view holistic practices as lacking scientific rigor or evidence.
So it's like there's this perception that holistic health is at odds with conventional medicine.
Right.
That it's either or.
Exactly. And that's a common misconception.
Okay.
You know, holistic health isn't about rejecting conventional medicine.
Okay.
It's about, you know, finding the right balance and integration of approaches to create that personalized healthcare plan.
It's about having all the tools available.
Exactly.
And using them wisely.
Right. And this brings us to another challenge. You know, misinformation.
Yeah.
Particularly in the online space.
Right.
You know, with the abundance of information available.
Right. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
There is.
Yeah.
It can be difficult to discern, you know, what's accurate and evidence-based from what's hype or potentially harmful.
So again, it goes back to doing your research.
Absolutely.
Being a discerning consumer of information.
Exactly. Education and awareness are key to addressing these challenges.
Yeah.
And ensuring that these holistic health practices are, you know, understood, respected, and utilized safely and effectively.
This has been such an insightful conversation.
It has.
It's clear that holistic health is multifaceted and constantly evolving.
It is.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive from, you know, the foundational principles of interconnectedness to the practical applications of alternative therapies, the importance of community, the role of technology.
It's been a fascinating exploration.
It has.
And I think, you know, the key takeaway is that holistic health is this personalized journey. It's about recognizing the interconnectedness of our being and making choices that support our overall well-being.
And those choices don't have to be drastic or overwhelming.
They don't.
You know, even small steps can make a big difference over time. We'll be back in part three to explore some final thoughts on how to integrate those holistic principles into your daily life. So stay tuned. Okay, so we're back, and we've talked about a lot of different aspects of holistic health.
Yeah.
But now I want to get really practical, you know?
Yeah.
How can we actually apply these principles to our everyday lives?
Right. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
It's one thing to, you know, understand the concepts.
Right.
But how do we actually integrate holistic health, you know, into our daily routines?
Because it can feel overwhelming.
It can.
To think about, you know, overhauling every aspect of our lifestyle.
And you don't have to.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it.
Okay.
It doesn't require, you know, these grand gestures or extreme measures.
Okay.
It's really about, you know,
baby steps.
Baby steps, exactly.
Okay.
Making small, sustainable changes that align with your needs and preferences.
So it's not about being perfect. It's about making conscious choices that move us in a healthier direction.
Progress, not perfection.
I like that.
And it's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
Right. There will be ups and downs, days when you nail it, days when you don't.
Of course.
But the key is to approach it with self-compassion.
Okay.
And, you know, a willingness to learn and adapt along the way.
So if someone is just, you know, starting out on this holistic health journey, what are some practical things that they can do?
So I would say start by tuning in to your body's signals. You know,
okay.
What are you feeling physically?
Okay.
What are your energy levels like?
Okay.
Are you experiencing any discomfort or pain?
So becoming more aware of what's going on inside.
Exactly. Being more mindful.
Okay.
And then you consider your mental and emotional well-being.
Okay.
How are you feeling emotionally?
Okay.
Are you stressed, anxious, content, joyful?
Yeah.
What thoughts and patterns are dominating your mind?
So we're talking about self-awareness on multiple levels.
Absolutely.
Physical, mental, emotional.
Yeah. And once you have a better understanding of your current state, you can start making those small adjustments to support your well-being.
Okay. So for example.
Sure. So let's start with nutrition.
Okay.
You know, instead of drastically changing your entire diet.
Right.
Try incorporating one more serving of fruits or vegetables into your meals each day.
Okay.
Or, you know, experiment with swapping out those processed snacks for a handful of nuts or seeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So simple changes.
Simple changes.
That can make a big difference.
Exactly. Small steps can lead to those significant shifts over time.
Okay. What about movement?
Movement. Find activities that you genuinely enjoy.
Okay.
You know, maybe it's dancing, hiking, swimming, or simply taking a walk in nature.
Right.
The key is to move your body in ways that feel good and sustainable.
It shouldn't feel like a chore.
No, it should be a celebration of what your body can do.
I love that.
And don't underestimate the power of rest and relaxation.
It's okay.
You know, make time for activities that nourish your soul. Whether it's reading, taking a bath, spending time with loved ones.
Right.
Listening to music, being in nature.
Those things are so important.
They are essential.
What about community?
Community, seek out connections that support your well-being. You know.
Okay.
Join a yoga class.
Yeah.
Attend a meditation group.
Okay.
Volunteer for a cause you care about.
Yeah.
Or simply reach out to a friend for a meaningful conversation.
It's about surrounding yourself with those people who lift you up.
Absolutely.
And inspire you.
Yeah.
And finally, what about technology?
Technology, be mindful of your relationship with it.
Okay.
While it can be a valuable tool, you know, it's important to use it intentionally and set boundaries.
Okay.
So make time for tech-free zones in your day.
Okay.
Engage in activities that don't involve screens.
All right.
And prioritize those face-to-face connections.
So it's all about balance.
It is. Finding that healthy balance.
And I think that's a great takeaway from this whole conversation. It's about, you know, taking a holistic approach to our well-being.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that all these different aspects of our lives are interconnected.
They're all connected.
And finding that balance that works for us.
Exactly.
And it's a journey.
It is.
It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that we have to work on continuously.
Yeah.
This has been such a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too.
And I'm really inspired to kind of, you know, take a closer look at my own life and see how I can incorporate some of these principles.
Yeah. And remember, you don't have to do it all at once.
Right.
Start small. Be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
And celebrate your progress along the way.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into holistic health.
It's been my pleasure.
We hope it's inspired you to embark on your own journey to well-being.
Absolutely.
Until next time, be well.